Amen.
The Holy Spirit is here.
Amen.
And He knows every single
Amen.
He knows what is in you.
Yes.
And he knows that you are not strong all the time.
Yes.
And he wants to lift you.
Amen.
So may God, the Holy Spirit, lift you today.
Amen.
Let it bring you from falling up.
Amen.
So that you will be strong. Be encouraged by the word that is coming to you.
Amen.
So if you have ears, please, by the grace of God, listen.
Amen.
Listen, because this is about grace.
Yes.
This whole book is about grace.
Yes.
And you still cannot tell what it is. The grace is so high, you cannot imagine. It is so deep. It is so wide. There is no pen that can talk about grace. The whole Bible is grace.
Yes.
And yes, when we are in heaven, we will know. And live it forever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So today, may God bless you.
Amen.
And for me, it's the same thing. Me, I was weak because of flu. 2 weeks ago, I get it, and still I'm sitting here. And still I'm not finished with it. But not only in my body I was weak, but also spiritual I was weak last week. I was troubled in my heart. My soul was downcast very much. I was thinking and thinking and thinking, and joy was very far from me. And then Pastor called me and hit me with tears. And I was reading it. And you, therefore, my son, be strong.
Amen.
In grace.
Amen.
Which is in Jesus Christ. And I said, oh, thank you, Lord. This words are for me too. For I am also not always strong.
Yes.
But from today, let God lift you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So be not downcast, please. God is an answer for all things.
Amen.
So be strong in grace is the title. Let us read the Bible. I will read it in English, and Felina will read it in Dutch. So firstly, it's from the King James Version. I love it so much, not only because it is nice English, but it is also taken from the original Greek text. And it is in every word tried, in every word, to keep the sentence like it was. So it wanted to keep the words in the same order as the Greek. So that's why I love it so much. So I'll read it. Maybe it's difficult, but bear witness with me. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 and 2. Do therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Ik lees in de Nederlandse vertaling 2 Timotheus 2 tot en met 1. U dan, mijn zoon, word gesterkt in de genade die Jezus Christus is. En wat u van mij gehoord hebt, onder vele getuigen, vertrouw dat toe aan de trouwe mensen die bekwaam zijn, om ook anderen te onderwijzen.
Amen.
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 Nina, you can stand there because we'll read later. Other verses too. Keep your finger there. Okay, so it starts with do therefore. And that word therefore is a very important word. I looked it up because I'm not very good in grammar. But it is a conjunction. And I will explain what that means. So let's say I will go to Elder Eric. And I said, Elder Eric, come. So I come to Elder Eric and I said, because of that, you have to pay me 50 euros, so bring it. So, what will be his normal reaction will be? What will be?
Why?
Why? Why? So therefore, it's saying something about something that was before. In the chapter before. Yes? I believe the only one, but sometimes somebody brings a story. And my thoughts are going all other ways. So I'm listening hard to the story, and at a certain point I'm not listening at all, but I'm just doing, yes. I'm the only one who do that, eh? I think I'm the only one. Or not? Is it? Yes, yeah. Okay. And suddenly the person says, and that's why I'm angry with you. I said, what? Sorry, go back. Go back and tell what is going on. This is a conjunction. That therefore, you cannot take it away from the words. Because this is like a conclusion of the things that are before. It is the final advice. The final conclusion. So we must go back to the first chapter to understand this properly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So in fact, we go back to the words of that is written in 2 Timothy 1. And Paul, he greets his beloved son in the faith, Timothy. And in with love and tenderness, he testifies that Timothy is in Paul's prayers day and night. Let us learn from that, people, that every member of the church in your prayers, think of them. Those that are downcast, those that are sick, those that are rejoicing, pray for them. Pray for them in your in night and day for the people. It's not only for pastors, it's for everybody that is in the church. Pray for each other. And Paul reminds that in his prayers, Timothy was day and night. And he continues how happy he was to see the tears of Timothy. The tears of the joy that you have. Sometimes you see somebody worshipping and tears falls from their cheek. It's not because of pain. It's not because of grief. But it's because you know that there is a God who has saved you.
Amen.
Who has saved you and you are worshipping Him. And when I see tears on your cheeks, I'm happy. And so Paul reminds of the tears of Timothy and he is in joy with it. So, and then Paul comes to his first point. He says, I have seen in you a gift of God, a faith. He called it an unfeigned faith. Let us read it. So let us go to 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. I will read English and I will ask Selena to read the Dutch. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Louise and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that to stir up the gifts of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
De Nederlandse vertaling zegt: daarbij herinner ik mij het onfeinde geloof dat in u is en dat eerst gewoond heeft in uw grootmoeder Lois en in uw moeder Eunice. En ik ben ervan overtuigd dat het ook in u woont. Daarom herinner ik u er aan de genadegave van God, die in u is door de oplegging van mijn handen aan te wakkeren. Want God heeft u ons niet gegeven een geest van vreesachtigheid, maar een kracht van liefde en bezonnenheid. Schaam u dan niet voor de getuigenis van onze Heere, en ook niet voor mij, zijn gevangenen, maar leed met mij verdrukking om het evangelie overeenkomstig de kracht van God.
Amen. So he reminds him of that faith that was in him. First in his grandmother, then his mother, and also that was living in him. And he asked. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I have. Thank you. He asked, stir up the gift that is given unto you when I put on my hands. Stir it up.
Amen.
The gift. So, Paul reminds Timothy, because it is very important. Why? Because the gift is not to fear. The gift is not to fear. And he says the gift is of a sound mind. People, when you have the Holy Spirit in you, when God touches you, when you are healed by God, a sound mind is coming.
Yes.
A sound mind. You see, sometimes in the movies, people are slaying in the spirit. They say, they roar on the floor, and they say that is slaying in the spirit. The Spirit of God is not a spirit of confusion.
Amen.
The Spirit of God is a spirit of a sound mind.
Amen.
There was a man before Jesus, and he had a legion of demons in him. And when he was cast out, all these, they found this man in his sound mind. That's what the Bible says. So when the Spirit of God comes, you have a sound mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Paul asked him to stir up the gift. And the gift in this thing is partly the word grace. You know that? It's partly the word grace.
Yes.
It's called the word charisma.
Charisma. Yeah.
Charisma.
Yeah.
And charis, the first part, is grace. So in the Dutch Bible, you have to read it again, but it says genadegave. It means, you can find it, eh? It says genadegave. It's not gift, but genadegave. It's a gift out of grace. A grace gift. A grace gift. Stir it up. That is what you can do. You can stir it up what you have been given. If you can write poems, stir it up. If you can sing a song, stir it up.
Amen.
If you can dance, stir it up.
Amen.
If you can play an instrument, stir it up.
Amen.
Why? Why? It is because you should not fear. Therefore, my son, he says, be strong in grace, which is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, he wants us, this is the first point, he wants you to not be in fear. The word fear in this Bible, it means timid. Mm-hmm. You know timid?
Yes.
How that is? You can do something, but you are shy.
Yes.
Verlegen, we say in Dutch. You are shy to do it. And that is wrong.
Vreesachtigheid,
that is what the Bible says in the Dutch. It's not good to have fear. You must come forward and dance. Why are your mothers dancing in the church and you cannot dance here? Because you are timid. Therefore, you, my people,
amen,
be strong in grace, which is in Jesus Christ. So, this is the first point that Paul makes. And Paul then gives the absolute truth about grace. He says something that is beyond our imagination. We cannot comprehend this word that Paul writes. And I will read it slow so it will come in your heart. May God help you.
Amen.
So let us go to verse 9, I believe. I start from 8. Be not do therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. We read it before. not of me his prisoner, but he do partake of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. And now he says something about God. Listen carefully, because this is the reason why you have to stand firm in grace. Listen carefully. Who has saved us, he said. That's how it starts. Who had. Paul does not say who will save you. Who is already done. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is done already, people.
Amen.
It is done. You are saved.
Amen.
So be strong in it. Don't think there's no place for me in heaven. You are already saved.
Amen.
You believe in Christ. The Bible says you are saved because you believe in Christ.
Yes.
You are saved by grace through faith. Yes. So he had. He says he had saved you. Has it something to do with you? Let's read. Who had saved us and called us with a holy calling. Oh, hallelujah. So he calls us not to just believe. He calls you to do something. He calls you, Elena. He calls you to do something. Abigail. He calls everybody here to do something with a holy calling. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not according to our works. This is very important because grace is an opposite of works. I'll come back to this later. But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Let's read in Dutch.
De Nederlandse vertaling zegt: Hij heeft ons zalig gemaakt en geroepen met heilige roeping, niet overeenkomstig onze werken, maar overeenkomstig zijn eigen voornemen en genade, die ons gegeven is in Jezus Christus, voor de tijden der eeuwen. Amen.
Amen. So he has called you for his own purpose and grace. It has nothing to do with you. He has done it even when. He has done it by Jesus Christ even before the world began. I love Jesus. But he first loved me. God loved me first. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
So this is grace, people. It has nothing to do with what you did, but all with what God did. He had saved you because he loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that you may believe on him and have eternal life. That's it. It's his grace. So to understand grace, you must completely erase your works. Because if you do something to come into heaven, then there is no grace. It has nothing to do with that. So, all the work-based religions are finished in grace. It cannot be. So this is very important because grace, it is misunderstood a lot. You cannot understand grace if you think you did something that earns you your way into heaven. No, it is all because of God's love for you. All his work that he has done. Hallelujah. So therefore, my son, be strong in grace that is in Christ Jesus. Later on, Paul reminds to hold fast the form of sound words. To hold fast the form of sound words. What does that mean? What do you think? What does it mean? It ponder upon the word of God. It is ponder on the things, the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. It is simply trust and fully believe what has been said. No doubt. Nothing. Keeping that sound word, that words of the amazing grace. That is something we need to do. And that makes you bold. You know that? If you know the words, it makes you bold. I'm very bad in my Dutch. When I was at school, I'm ashamed even to say what grade I get. It was so bad. So when I'm at work and we need to write a letter to a customer or to somebody, and they have to put the words together in the right way with the D's and the T's and all these things, I am very quiet. I'm very quiet. I don't say a word. Why? I will totally embarrass myself. I really will. I will totally fall, because within 3 words I have made 2 mistakes already. I'm very bad at it. But when they talk about programming, that one is my thing. God has blessed me with that. So when they talk and they talk about a certain kind of code, I'm even good at it. Then I speak, and no one can tell me anything. They will listen to me because I have authority in that issue. You understand?
Yes, God.
So to stand strong in the Word is to remind them and to have them in your heart all the time, so that you, when you are being attacked by the Word of God, or by the Word of others, then the Word of God is in you. You stand strong and says, oh, open the Bible, let's see if it is there.
Amen.
I know these things. I'm strong. I don't let you confuse my heart.
No.
I will confuse you. Open the Bible and see if it is there.
Amen.
Yes, it will be nice if you can come here and say, Elder Bob, you were wrong. Open your Bible and see. Yes? You must be strong. So keep the form of good words in your heart all the time. So then you will be bold. When they come to speak at school about God, if somebody who is an atheist, they attack God a lot. They attack openly God. And you are quiet. Why? Because you do not know what to answer. Because you are timid. You therefore, my son, be strong in grace.
Amen.
That is in Jesus Christ. So keep the words, the sound words of the doctrine. Keep this book. Study it. And there is a God above.
Amen.
Who loves you so much. When he sees you read that Bible, he lets the Holy Spirit run to bring answers to you.
Amen.
There was that Enoch from Ethiopia.
Yeah.
He let his apostle run to him. The Bible says he ran. He said, go and run. Because he's reading the Bible and don't understand it.
Yes.
God will help you.
Amen.
So just read and understand and be strong in grace.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And there's another thing that Paul reminds us from. And that is that many fall away. And that is still in this church also. There are many who are falling away. He says the whole Asia, all of them in Asia, are falling away. There must be pain in Paul's heart. I can imagine it. How painful it is to see somebody leave and not come back. Go into the world. You therefore, my son, be strong in grace. Don't let you be dismayed by what happens. Don't let the others bring you down. But bring and stir up that gift that is in you. And keep it by the Holy Spirit. So not somebody in church can bring you in your house. No anger for another person can keep you from coming here.
Yes.
Why? Because that is not what it is about. It's about you and God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So come and be strong in grace. So to be strong in grace is you have to understand grace, what it means. So if I have still a little time, I want to talk a little about the word grace, what it means. Because I can tell you to stand strong in something, but if you don't understand really what grace means, then it is for nothing. So to understand grace is impossible to explain, because the whole book is about it, and it is all grace. But let me, if God permits, take a moment to talk about grace. There was a man, a scholar, and he is called Strong's. He is Strong's, and he translated all the words that are in the Bible, all of them. He numbered them, and he also translated them. And in his translation, he tried to use the meaning that was in that time it was written. So he tried to find out what it meant in the time. So that's Strong's. So about the word grace is charis, and it says it's a manner of act, an act. It is something, an action of God, the divine influence upon the heart, the divine influence upon your heart from God above. And this is the result. And it is the reflection in the life we live. So that's what God is doing in your heart will be reflected in everything you do. In all things it will be reflected. But the act is of God. And it is in your heart. So, let us read a little and then hopefully understand perhaps a little bit grace. Galatians 1, verse 15 to 16. And then I quit soon. Galatians 1, verse 15 and 16. But when it pleased God, this is Paul writing about himself. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, so you are called by his grace, people, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. So Ephesians 1, verse 6 to 10. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
We are accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he had purposed in himself. Ephesians 1, verse 6 to 10.
Ephesians 1, 6 to 10. Tot de loof van de heerlijkheid van zijn genade, waarmee ons benadigd heeft in de liefde. In hem hebben wij de verlossing door zijn bloed, namelijk de vergeving van de overtredingen, overeenkomstig de rijkdom van zijn genade, die hij ons overvloedig geschonken heeft, in alle wijsheid en bedachtzaamheid, toen hij ons overeenkomstig zijn welbehagen, hij heeft in zichzelf voorgenomen had. Het geheimenis en zijn wil bekend te maken. Om in de bedeling van de volheid van de tijden alles weer in Christus bijeen te brengen. zowel wat in de hemel als wat de aarde is. Amen.
Amen. So by grace you are called. By grace Jesus Christ is revealed in your heart. By grace you are accepted before God. By grace is forgiveness of our sins. By grace is justification. By grace we may know God's will. Hallelujah.
Amen.
By grace we are saved. That's what the Bible says. By grace we are the sons of God.
Yes.
By grace we have joy and assurance of eternal life. Grace is sufficient. That's what Jesus Christ said to Paul when he prayed 3 times to get rid of a thing that was troubling him so much. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. So grace, it is the act of God in our lives. And this is how it is. God sees us from above. And he has seen us. And he has seen that none is good. No, not one. All have gone astray. All have gone their way. No one is seeking for God. So he says, I will make a new covenant with them. I will write my law in their inward being. My law will be in their inward being. And they will know who I am. And they will not tell each other anymore, know God. For the greatest till the smallest will know who I am. And I will forgive all their sins and remember them no more. So this is what happens to everybody that God saves. He comes into your heart and he writes with the Spirit of God his law in your inward being. And that person in you is screaming, guilty, 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 you are guilty. There is no good in you. Paul says, to do good, I do not know how to do it. I do not know it, how to do good. I have no idea. Guilty, it writes the law in your heart. And everybody in grace will be like that son that is in the swine's field. And I said, I have sinned against heaven and against my father. I'm not being worthy. I'm not worthy. Totally not. To be called even a son of my father. That is what God does in grace. Why? Because then your eyes will be upon him. And so God gives grace. And that's why the song goes, Amazing Grace. How sweet it sounds to save a wretch like me. That's it. That's grace. Everybody will have death in their lives. Everybody will know that. That there was nothing that is in you that saved you. But God in his love has saved you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then God shows and reveals his son in you. And in Jesus, your sins are forgiven. Your guilt is gone. In Jesus is joy. In Jesus, you are accepted by the Father. In Jesus, you are now a son. In Jesus, you see the blood flowing, and you see all has been rinsed, and you are white as snow. In Jesus is no remembrance of sin anymore. In Jesus. So that's why Paul says, therefore, my son, be strong in grace, and he didn't stop, which is in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So all the grace of God is in one person. in one God, in one Savior, in one Lord, and that is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So grace, people understand it, has nothing to do with works. Nothing with works. So can you relax now and do nothing? God forbid. No. But if you think you earn yourself into heaven by your good works, you go every Sunday, you don't go to disco, you don't have a girlfriend, stick them. You don't do all that kind of thing. You are a perfect example. So you think by that, doing that, you earn your way into heaven, you are wrong. You don't understand grace at all. You don't understand. There's no grace when you work yourself into heaven. There's no way you can do that. Unless you are in that swine field and say, I have sinned against him. There's no good in me. I'm not worthy. Then you understand what grace is. That God, because of his purpose, because of his grace, has saved you. That's what Paul wrote. He had saved you and called you with a holy calling, not according to your works, but because of his purpose and grace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we must work because we now are bought with a price. Jesus is now we are his possession. He has bought us. We are now his. So we are doing and reflecting the work that God has done in our hearts. So in all things we do, we give thanks. In all things we do, we praise God. In all things we have, we stand firm. In all things, so that the world may see and fear and know God. You understand?
Yes.
So grace is very important, people, that you understand it. It's the act of God in your life.
Amen.
That you believe that you are loving God is because he first loved you. I quit. Amen. Amen. Amen.